Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined once again by my good friend, Miss Janine Gagliardi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. We're still here.
Still spooky. Keeping it spooky.
I feel like we'll be here for weeks.
We will be. We're here again talking about Junji Ito, Maniac.
Japanese Tales of the Macabre.
Yes. Why do you think it's called Maniac?
I don't know. Is he the maniac for thinking all these crazy things?
Maybe. Are you a maniac when you watch it?
I mean, I
Is
guess.
Is it turning you into a maniac?
I don't feel mania.
Well, wait, I'm trying to think of like the origins of the word. Like,
yeah.
Maniac. Huh.
I mean, there are some people exhibiting mania. Like,
sure. There's a lot of mania. There's a lot of mania in it.
Yeah. But I don't know. Huh. It's not like everyone has a maniac.
No, no.
I would feel like it's just more of a referendum on the creator. Like, he's the maniac. Look at all the things that came out of his head. He's crazy. Yeah.
Junji Ito, that maniac. Yeah.
As his neighbors say, I'm sure.
Yeah. Don't invite him to the pool party.
Oh, my gosh.
All right. So last episode of PCMC, we covered episodes 1 to 4 of Maniac. So we're at episode 5, Intruder and the Long Hair in the Attic.
Mm-hmm.
Intruder is a great episode in that. It seems like it makes sense, but then when it's over, you're like, that made no sense.
None of it made sense.
I have questions about every single thing just saw.
Yeah.
Nothing makes any sense. I don't understand what the last image means.
Yeah.
I don't understand what the first image means. I don't know anything about it.
Front to back. And I feel like you could reverse the order and it would be the same story.
Yes, that's true. Yeah. It begins with a cold open of a red-haired child digging in a backyard.
Yeah.
And he digs and he pulls the shovel up and there's his face.
Yeah.
Again, we talked last week, some of the themes are like doppelgangers. Mm-hmm. There's his face and it's like smiles at him.
Yeah.
And then I think it says the title.
Yeah.
Intruder. Which is, who's the intruder? Who is the intruder?
Are they the people who intruded in his home? Like those students that he met?
Oh, yeah.
Is it a person from an alternate dimension?
Right.
That just gets thrown in. Like everyone's talking about alternate dimensions, yeah. like it's like the football team that you just watched this weekend. Like it's just common parlance. So it's also very vague.
Everything about it's vague.
So vague. So the next scene, they're in the library, right?
Yes, they're at like a school library.
They're at a school library, and the redheaded kid is in the stacks looking for something, and then this other group of kids are talking about him, right? Were they talking about somebody else?
I forget what they're talking
about.
They're
like shit talking somebody.
Oh, are they?
They're like, he seems creepy. Or,
oh, I guess they're talking about him.
I guess they must be talking about him. Then they immediately approach him. They're like, hello, would you like to be our friend? It's just very strange.
Well, I remember, aren't they having a conversation about like alternate worlds or
whatever? First, they're talking about a person, whether it's him or not. I think it is supposed to be him.
But don't they meet him because he's like, somehow they get on the Bermuda Triangle and he's like, oh, there's a cool book about the Bermuda Triangle in here.
And then he's reading it and then they're like,
oh, sorry.
Yeah. Well, because now, so there's two kids talking and then this other guy starts saying, I have a feeling. Oh, what kind of feeling?
Yeah.
It's so strange. Like a human from an alternate dimension. I'm like, that's not a feeling. A human from an alternate dimension is not a feeling.
What do you mean?
What are you talking about?
Are the three of you ghosts?
Yeah.
Are you all? Who's alive?
Who's alive? You have to tell me.
Are you all from a different dimension?
Right? So he says he has a feeling, this kid in the library whom we've never met.
Again, it's like
before.
Dream logic. Like, what are you saying?
Yeah. I have a feeling like a human from another dimension. But it's like he doesn't specify if he feels like he's from another dimension, if he's sensing a presence from another dimension.
And then they're super
obsessed
with the idea of another dimension.
Yeah.
They're all on board.
They're just like, okay. They're yes and him. And they're like, absolutely, we're on board. So then they talk about the Bermuda Triangle. They're like, there's some book about it around here somewhere. And then they notice that this kid is sitting at the table reading a book.
Yeah.
And the guy just comes over and like over his shoulder is like, I'd like to read this book.
He's like, can I fucking help you,
sir? Yeah, he needs it back all
and
the way
And he gives
up.
It to him. He's like, I guess I wasn't taking it out so you could use it.
You can have
and they're
it.
Like, oh, if you're interested in it, we should be friends.
Yeah.
They're immediately best friends.
Yeah, they're the four best friends who ever were. And then he says, you can come to my house.
Or because he says,
I hear stuff all the time.
I hear footsteps in my house. And he's like, ooh, that's paranormal stuff. Can we go and see? He's like, yeah, come over and investigate it.
Right. So it's another Japanese mansion. Yes. Wow, you live in this mansion all by yourself? So there's this thing.
And like, he says yes.
Why does he live by himself?
Why does
no follow-ups ever to anything.
A child lives in a mansion, but it also looks like Willy Wonka's house because every room is differently like themed.
There's checkerboard and has pattern weird a lot. Patterns. Yeah.
Like, what?
And there's a wall around it.
Yes.
So, like, why when he's digging in the garden, it's like a walled in.
It's not like that alleyway situation.
And it's also very bleak. Like, there's not like a lot of vegetation. Not like in The Whispering Woman where it's like a nice garden. It's just like kind of like a dirt pit.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
So,
can you imagine a child being like, yeah, I live here.
I live here by myself.
Okay, I have no follow-ups.
Yep. No further questions, Your Honor.
Yeah.
so they like explore the house, and the guy who spearheaded the alternate dimension talk is like, there's a dimensional intruder. There's no doubt in my mind.
All right.
It's like, okay, based on what exactly? Right. So then they hear the footsteps. And they're like, oh my gosh, you know, we hear it. So
they, when they first go in to his mansion, he goes, oh, let's go into the back door. I always go into the back door.
Oh, yeah, it's just a weird little detail to drop in there.
Yeah.
It's
interesting because at some point you're like, who's the creep here? Is it the redheaded boy or the other kids?
Yeah.
Are they all creeps? Who am I trusting?
Yeah, like come into the back door. Like he's an intruder. Like he can't go in through the front door of his own house.
Which means you think he's a ghost or from a different dimension or some kind of something.
Right, because which one is he? Is he the one digging or is he the one who was buried?
Right. And also another level on this is they meet the three friends that they meet. It's two boys and a girl. The two boys look identical.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can't tell them apart.
Yeah.
So it just... So much doubling, so many doppelgangers. Yeah, they're like I think they start to hear the sound. At some point, they're like, "We're best friends," and they shake hands. It's like, okay,
it's weird.
That's best friends that ever were.
Yeah. So they're looking for the source of these footsteps.
Right. They get to a window,
and the girl sees a figure in the garden.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Look!" And it's the kid. It's the redheaded kid, and he's.
Digging.
Burying? Or he has a body.
He's got a body next to him.
Yeah.
But he's digging a hole.
He's digging a hole.
And they're like, that looks like you.
Yeah. The glasses guy who knows there's dimensional intruders all around him. That kid. So, but then he shouts out the window at him.
Yeah. And then the other him, like, first is like, and then like laughs.
Yeah.
And then he dusts like.
Yeah. He just disappears.
Mr. Stark.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, that was fucked up.
That was weird.
Then they go down there and they see that the body is the boy.
Yeah.
The boy who, not that redhead boy, but the boy who's super into this.
Yeah. I'm going to call him Glasses Guy from now on.
Okay. It's Glasses Guy.
Glasses. And he's like, the redheaded kid is rightfully so freaking out.
Right.
He's like, I would never murder you. I'm so sorry. What? I don't know what to do with this information that we all just saw this. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what's happening. And the kid is so calm. The glasses guy is so calm. He's like,
it's another dimension.
I know you would never do this, even though I met you 3 hours ago.
It's another dimension person.
It's another dimension. And obviously in the other dimension, you have killed me. So maybe we should bury it. And it has like a real like Rick and Morty vibe of like they're burying themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Then they discover other bodies and it's the bodies of the other two. Other kids.
And they freak out more.
Yeah.
The girl's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, let's get out of here. But they're also in different states of decay.
Yes.
Like, it looks like he killed them at different times. Like, all three of them at different times.
Yeah.
And so they all just bury their own bodies.
But then the last image.
It's just the.
I don't understand it.
Because doesn't he have white eyes? Or does he have white eyes when you see. Because he has white eyes at the end.
Yes, he has white eyes without pupils. I have it written down.
Yeah.
I think it cuts inside. I think it's a third him. Or maybe it's the real him. Because you hear them burying. You hear the activity outside.
Yeah.
But we're inside and he's sitting on a bed, the redheaded kid. He's sitting on a bed. He's got white eyes, no pupils.
Mm-hmm.
He's just sitting there alone and we hear the echoes of them burying the body. Mm-hmm. And that's the last thing we see.
Yeah. Is that alternate dimension him? Is that another one? Did that guy ghost from outside of the house, inside of the house?
Does it spin?
Keep happening?
Yeah, like a cycle?
Yeah. It's a weird one. But intruder. I'm really intrigued by the title.
Yeah. Because what the fuck does that mean?
Yeah.
The intruder.
That's it's like a that weird Denis one. It's Villeneuve a super weird one. Movie, Enemy, I think it's called.
I haven't seen it.
That movie has to do with doppelgangers. Wow. Jake Gyllenhaal is an actor in the movie, but not like, you know, not like a big star. He's just, mm-hmm. he's like a working actor who's done some stuff.
Yeah.
And he like encounters someone who looks like him. Looks exactly like him.
I don't remember
him.
This at all.
It's,
is it Maggie Gyllenhaal?
It's Maggie Gyllenhaal. It is. It's a very weird, interesting movie and like a lot of madness. And every so often you'll see like a shot of a giant like spider like creature like what? Walking over the city, and it has nothing to do with what the other narrative that's this
sounds
happening.
Great.
No, it's really I mean, it's one of Denis Villeneuve's like first movies, yeah. and it's like why he got to do all the other stuff, because yeah. it's just like a very interesting movie. It's really cool. But then like one of the last scenes is like when the doppelgangers like encounter each other, yeah. like he goes into the room looking to expecting to see the other Jake Gyllenhaal, yeah. and it's a giant spider just in the corner of the room.
Really?
Like, and it's like a scared spider. Like, it goes up against the wall.
Ooh,
and
weird.
It's humongous. And it's just so crazy and creepy and just like, what the fuck is happening
That's
in this
awesome.
Movie? But it there is this thing of like doppelgangers and madness, like in Black Swan.
Right. Well,
but it's not usually an alternate dimension thing. It's usually like a, like in, I don't know, alternate dimensions just seem like exterior planes. And I feel like doppelgangers have more to do with like a psyche thing, like interiority of the self.
Interesting. That's really interesting. I also from a generic point of view, alternate dimensions feels sci-fi.
Yeah.
Where
this is more horror.
Horror is more like tied into things like life and death and morality and yeah. mortality and stuff. Yeah, it's really interesting.
Yeah, it's just the unburying in the beginning. And then yeah. he's just hanging out in the basement or whatever at the end.
Well,
I don't know.
I always think about the Freud essay, Uncanny. The first like example Freud gives is imagine you're on a train and you think you see someone who looks like you. You think you see somebody who looks exactly like you. And for an instant, you don't realize it's your reflection and you freak out.
Yeah.
Like that's his first example of what uncanny is.
Uh-huh.
And then the second one is an automaton, which is like imagine like you build something that's alive, and which is funny because both of those examples Freud gives become like things that you see often in horror and sci-fi.
Yeah. Megan.
Yeah. Oh, Megan. So fucking good.
Love Megan.
So shall
we?
Long hair in the attic.
Okay. So this woman with very, very long hair.
And that's it.
Is it in a car, not in the attic.
Yeah.
Twist.
Something important.
Yeah.
That I had to remind myself. In Japan, they drive on the other side
uh-huh.
than we drive. So the guy's on the left side and she's on the right side.
Right.
So he's driving. That's important because if you read it the other way, she's driving him.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's a power dynamic thing.
Yeah. Well, at first I thought she was driving.
Right.
Him. Right. And that was the initial shot. I was like, oh, okay. She's getting out and he's driving away.
Yeah.
I was like, did he steal her car?
Yeah.
And she's getting broken up with.
But it's so odd because you
think. He dumps her like it's a casual relationship. Yeah. Like they maybe went on 2 dates.
Then you find out they've been together like nine years.
It was wild. He's like, lose my number.
Yeah, he says, lose my number. Like, you think like, oh, this is like a second date?
Yeah, this is like a jerk. They just met.
Yeah. And he's such a jerk.
Yeah, he's such a jerk.
And like, he's kind of like, oh, you don't like me smoking. And she's like, no, whenever I see your cigarettes in the store, it makes me think of you and
yeah.
I like it. And he's like, you know, that's real off-putting.
And your hair. Because her hair is extremely
right.
long.
But
and
he
she's
told
like,
her.
But you told me to grow it out. Like, she seems like she lost her personality in this
right,
relationship.
That's the thing. Yeah. He even says like, yeah, you do everything I want or whatever. It's really,
yeah.
it's really off-putting or something.
Yeah. He's not nice, but she's also, it seems like the kind of person who just loses herself in a relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. Her hair, she has super long hair because he once said he took her to the beach and she's never seen the ocean before.
Yeah. And she had short, like sporty hair.
And he's like, you know, I'd like your hair to be long. And she was like, yes.
He's like,
I will
you know
grow it
grow
as long as possible.
Out. Yeah. Just like, let's take that idea to the ultimate,
right.
the ultimate point.
Nine years.
And he's like, you know, we're just not. I'm not feeling it, babe.
Can you imagine 9 years ending with lose my number?
Lose my number.
How about lose my aunt's number because you have an like, intimate relationship with my family.
You've been with my family for a decade. Like, what are you talking about? Lose my number?
We've had multiple Christmases together.
Crazy. Crazy.
But to me, I don't see that as poor writing. I see that as just another uncanny thing.
It's just, yeah, it doesn't make sense. It's dreamlike. And you don't know
why this moment is the moment that he decides to dump her.
Yeah, he just seems like bored.
Yeah. So she goes inside and she's got a little sister, and little sister's like, there's rats in the attic.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't fucking deal with this.
Rat watch.
Yeah.
2023.
Yeah.
She's reporting on all the rat activity in their house, which I'm like, is this common? Because I think in another episode they talk about like, oh, it must be a rat. And I'm like, are rats getting in houses all over Japan? Like, what's happening?
I don't know. I'm reading a book where there's a rat in the attic.
Oh.
That's just, I'm reading How to Sell a Haunted House by Grady Hendrix.
Oh, cool.
It's very good. Would you say the girl's name is Chiermi? Chiermi.
Chiermi?
Yeah, Chiermi. lose my number. Can you imagine?
Oh, so she has...
That'd be funny thing to say when you die. Like, on your deathbed, be like, lose my number.
Unfriend me.
Have you ever met my friend?
That's a 2004 reference.
Yeah. Don't follow me. Have you ever met my friend?
Take me out of your top eight.
Let me introduce you to my friend Tone. Dial Tone.
Oh, man.
That's from eighth grade. I didn't hang up on somebody. So Liz is like, yeah, there's a rat in the attic. The girl's like, obviously distraught.
Yeah, she's going through it.
She has a flashback of them at the beach. Yeah. And him being like, you should grow your hair out.
Yeah. And then she like smokes his cigarette.
Yeah. And she's like, what am I doing? She's like,
what the hell am I even doing? You feel like she's going to get her groove back. But... she hears the rat. She goes to sleep. Whatever.
This is
she
such wakes a horrible image.
Up with a rat in her hair,
like tangled,
like
in
wrapped up in her
and
hair.
It's dead.
That like her, like yeah, it just died in her hair, yeah. And she gets rightfully grossed out and like screams. And yeah, like,
she's like, you see her like it cut to her like washing her hair frantically.
Yeah, in the bathroom, and like yeah, you think she tells her sister, she's like, I'm ready for a change. Like, cut this hair off of me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, good for you, girl. Like, cut it off. Forget this man. Wash him right out of your hair.
You forgot that the episode is called Long Hair in the Attic.
But whoopsie daisy.
The sister leaves to go find the scissors, and while she's out of the room, she hears a scream.
Yeah.
She
like, runs horrifying back. Scream. She's like, Mom, do you have scissors? And she's like, oh, why? Whose hair are you cutting?
Yeah.
Who else is in the house, lady? Yeah. What are you talking about?
What are you up to?
Come on. So, yeah. She leaves for a moment. She hears this horrifying scream. She gets back upstairs. Her sister is covered in blood.
And decapitated.
Dead. And her head is missing.
Missing head.
Missing head. But it also is very similar to the tunnel in the sense that it looks like it went through the
wall. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like she's up against the wall.
Yeah.
And there's just blood everywhere.
Yeah.
And like blood, it looks like lacerations all over her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's pretty fucked up.
And the sister's just like, this can't be real. This can't be real. Which I echo her. Sentiment where like if you saw that you'd be like, what? I'm dreaming.
I mean, leaving a room with a live person in it and then coming back and the person's just mangled,
just done. That yeah, they're like pulp.
I mean, if there's a reality to the narrative, it's that the hair felt threatened,
right? That it was gonna get cut
and,
off,
like escaped and just ripped her head with it.
Yeah,
like, you got to take the head with
it. The hair ran away.
Yeah, and the head had to go with it.
Yeah,
and that
the hair
gets messy.
Also killed the rat, which I guess was nice of the hair. Like it was looking out for her. They didn't want that rat biting her, so it got the rat before it could get her.
Yeah.
Unless it went looking for the rat in the attic because it's like, I want to live in the attic. Better get rid of this rat.
Interesting.
You know, the hair, we don't know the hair's motivation.
Yeah.
But we do eventually.
Yes. And it's revenge. This is a revenge story.
This is a revenge hair story.
Yeah.
You know, you got to get your breakup haircut.
Yeah.
Everybody has to
go for bangs.
Well, bangs are a sign of an impending breakdown.
Oh, okay.
The flirty bob or a change in hair color is the breakup haircut or, you know, hairstyle change. You got to do it. Bill, every time like a band of his ended, he would do the breakup haircut. I would joke.
He'd do a flirty bob?
He would do a flirty bob. He would like, do something with his hair. I was like, are you doing a breakup haircut? I'm like, you realize every time you leave a band, you get a breakup haircut. He's like, I do. He's like, well, I gotta do it now.
Does the band tell him to lose his number?
They're like, lose my number.
Another band broke up with me.
Time to lose his hair. So, okay.
cut to the asshole boyfriend. He's already got a new girlfriend.
Yeah.
He looks like he lives a very nice life.
Yeah.
He's in this beautiful apartment.
It reminds me of one of the Hellraiser movies. Like, he reminds me of a character in the beginning of one of the Hellraiser movies. And I can't remember if it's like 2 or 3.
Yeah.
But some guy, some like rich, like art dude who's like having sex with some girl in his apartment. And but like the bed's like in the middle of the apartment. And
it's a huge bed.
Yeah. And that's kind of like this deal. Like, it's not in the middle, but it's just, it's very, he's got like a cool bachelor pad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which doesn't suggest just a sleeping that he's woman. Been with a woman for 9 years. Like, it's...
And, you know, it's funny.
It's not domesticated at all.
Right, right. If the woman's on her back, they live together. But if the woman's sleeping with her face down and you see her hair,
naked back,
she's just a fuck.
She's a floozy.
It's just movie language for she's not a person that matters. She's just there to be like, hey, fuck people.
A mother has never slept on her stomach.
No, of course not.
That's what she gives the baby. That's not for a lady to do. She can't sleep on that. Oh, man.
He gets a phone call. And the sound.
This truly makes your skin crawl.
He says, oh, it sounds like.
When she used to grind her teeth at night. But she's been dead
for months. Because I slept in her bed for 9 years. Right. He's like, but she's been dead.
For months now, right?
Yeah, so it's a jump ahead.
It's like a horrible sound. I can't even do it.
It's really messed up. It really made my skin crawl. The sound in this show is so good.
Yeah.
Some of the sounds is just so upsetting.
So now they hear something in the attic again. Is it rats?
Yeah.
They think there's rats in the attic.
Yeah. I don't know how these people go on with their life after what happened. But the father does look pretty fucked up.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm going to go into the attic and check it out. Yeah. And we get.
This is another recurring thing of like the dad going to check out the situation and never returning.
And also like the dad just being like.
Like just emotionally gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no, the dad dies in a bunch of them hanging balloons, the tunnel, this one.
Yeah, it's true.
So that's why Soichi's dad's like not getting involved. I'm not doing it. I know too many dads. All my friends died trying to figure things out in their households. I'm not doing it.
Now I just have a carpenter friend.
And he's my best friend.
He's my best friend. And I don't mind.
What you're not going to do is speak ill of this carpenter.
Not in my house.
Oh my god. Oh no. That's an Anthony joke. I mean, I know other people say it, but he always says it. He's like, what you're not going to do is speak ill of this person. And then it makes me laugh every time. God bless the little sister.
She's like, well, the dad's been up there a while. He must be dead.
So she goes to check it out.
Well, she says something very, she says, like, be careful, your heart.
And it's like, okay. Yeah, you have a heart condition.
Well, means he's going to die.
He's gone. He's gone.
I've seen movies before.
So she gets up there. The dad is like he's telling a scary story.
It reminds me of The Grudge.
Like, oh, yeah. He's like frozen.
He's frozen in a horrified.
Sitting upright with a expression. Frozen in a scream, right. But he's dead. And so she goes to look.
She's like, well, what is he looking at?
Yeah. Let's look across the room. And it's her dead sister's head.
Yeah.
Which is not decomposed. It's still like fresh as a daisy.
Yeah. And it almost looks crucified. Like it's the
hair. The hair is suspending it, but the hair is like in all directions.
It looks like Spider-Man too. Yeah. It swings. But you get the feeling that the head's not alive.
No.
It's just attached.
The hair is
the
alive.
The hair is what's alive.
Yeah. And it's so long. It's almost even longer posthumously. Yeah. Like, it's doing all kinds of craziness. So it does
it's
look like a web of hair.
It's like the embodiment of their shitty relationship.
Yeah. This is all the hurt that she has just went right up into, right from her brain, right into her hair.
I think Junji Ito was just hanging out with one of his female friends. And she was like, yeah, you know, I just went through this breakup. I think I'm going to get a flirty Bob. And he's like, I've got an idea for a story.
What if that hair decided?
And then he shows her the story. And she's like, what the fuck is this? It has nothing to do with
it. I don't want
to
be friends with you anymore.
You're a maniac.
Well, I said, I wrote, God bless the little sister, because she says, I'll get you down from there, big sis.
Yeah.
And tries to like very cheerfully grab the head of her dead sister.
Does she die? You don't see what happens to
the
little sister.
I don't think she does.
She doesn't deserve to die.
So the hair is moving it around and pulling at the eyelids and around the mouth too, which is horrible.
Yeah.
It's just horrible.
And it's making that noise, that grinding noise.
And then do we see the hair leave?
I think so.
Yeah, the grinding of the teeth yeah. is the only noise it makes.
Yeah.
Because then we hear that sound get like louder and louder yeah. and it cuts to the boyfriend.
Yeah, the very next thing we see is the boyfriend. He's like suspended yeah. over his bed.
That was another thing that reminded me of Hellraiser. Of just like yeah. his body like that.
Well, and the way that it explodes.
Yeah.
It's like in the end of Hellraiser when he's got all the hooks in him and yeah. then eventually he's just pulled apart.
That's exactly what happens. It's like all the hair. Anytime you've ever wrapped your finger in a piece of hair... until yeah. it got tight.
Yeah.
That's what happens to his whole body.
And his body explodes
yeah.
in every different direction.
It's all over. And he's suspended from the ceiling. And then it goes black. And then you hear the teeth grinding.
Yeah.
I was like, what happened to her? What happened to her head?
Probably. Do you think the hair is at peace now?
I don't know. I don't know.
I did what I...
like the head has like a dating profile on Tinder.
yeah. Murderous hair.
Like a bald man's like, yes.
I am turned on.
Oh my god. What I want you got.
This hilarious.
The hair. Oh boy.
That's so funny. So episode 6.
This is called Mold.
Mold and Library Vision. I'm going to come right out of the gate.
Yeah.
This is the worst episode.
Yeah.
I don't like these stories that much.
No, these stories aren't great. I actually like Mold better than the Library.
Library Vision is interesting because it bores me, but it's just in juxtaposition to all this other crazy shit, it's not that interesting. But on its own, it's not an uninteresting story.
Yeah.
It just feels old. It feels like old-fashioned kind of horror.
It also leaves me with a lot of questions. Because that one is very like Poe in the
yes,
library.
Yes, it's very yeah. Poe.
It's like The Raven.
Yes. Well, there's a lot. Like, even when we talk about Tombtown, that's really a Telltale Heart story.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
so there's a yeah, body that yeah. I'm hiding, and it's all about me getting nervous.
Oh, I have so much to say about that.
That's such a good one, but that's not what we're talking about now. We're talking about Mold.
No. Mold.
This one's in black and white, which is interesting.
It's the only one like this.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. Although a lot of them have like a grayness to them.
Yeah.
For instance, the ice cream story. It's very colorful, but only in relation to the ice cream. Everything else is really kind of gray.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of the story, like the photograph story, the Tomier story is really kind of, it's like washed out.
Yeah.
Even the hanging balloons is sort of washed out color
I
palette.
I think a lot of, I might be wrong here, but I think a lot of the original manga is
black and
just
white.
Black and white.
Yeah. Yeah. I think all of it is.
Yeah.
I don't
yeah,
think he
from
does
what I've
color.
Seen online.
Because he has other stories too. He has that one with the spiral. That's like a really, that's mm-hmm. his like big thing.
Uh-huh.
And that's the art project that I sent you that Netflix yeah, yeah. is working on a series based on just that. And the artwork is stunning.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's taking forever because I guess it's just yeah, taking yeah. so long to draw all of it.
I think at some point someone made a live action version of something he wrote too.
Huh, interesting.
But
yeah, this is in black and white.
This one I think has a lot of class tension in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because it's a young like...
He seems like a hot
yuppie.
Shot.
Yeah, he's yeah. not. He just built this beautiful house.
Yeah, but it's he can't live modern. There because he's got to go overseas to do work.
Yeah, so he's obviously got an important job.
Yeah,
but he just built this house, so his brother's like, "Oh, you should rent it to this teacher that I had."
And he's like a teacher he hated.
Yeah, and the brother, and he's like, "Yeah, we have a meeting with him Sunday," and he's like, "I didn't agree to that."
He's like, "I'm bringing him over. Don't worry about right. it."
It's never
I hate
clear
the brother.
Why. It's never clear why the brother is pushing it so
the
much.
The brother is so invested in getting
he
these people
so
in
wants
the house.
This to happen.
Yeah. And it's one of these things that you see throughout the series, but I imagine it's also a big part of the culture that there's this real like reverence and respect for teachers.
Yeah. Oh yeah, yeah. But this guy fucking hates his teacher.
He hates his teacher. But
and the
he
teacher's
can't turn
whole
it
family
down.
Is
he
creepy.
He can't like
yeah.
turn down the appointment and be like, tell him to cancel. I'm not doing this. It's
yeah.
like, oh, well, I guess I have to go through the motions of
yeah.
this now.
Right.
Yeah. So the teacher. Well, okay. So we don't see this meeting first, right?
No, it's a flashback.
We see him
come
return
home
to the house.
And it's wrecked.
After being abroad for several years. And he's like, my old tenant should be out by now.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, monologuing
his
to
dog
himself.
His dog is missing.
He had a dog. The tenant was supposed to watch the dog.
Dog's gone.
Everything's
messed up.
There's like
food
bags
everywhere.
Of garbage
yeah.
on the floor, like rotten food in the fridge.
It's just
rotten
looks
fruit on the house, like on the table. Like the house is in shambles.
Yeah.
And he's like, what the hell did they do? Like, what happened here?
It smells inside.
It stinks. And does he find mold at this point? I think
no,
he finds...
Not,
oh,
only,
not yet.
Only the mold of the food in the refrigerator.
Okay.
Which makes him throw up.
Right.
He doesn't find mold yet in the house.
So he's just like, this house is shot. It's wrecked.
And the brother
and
comes
the brother,
over. But he won't go in. He's just standing outside.
The house. The brother never goes in the house. So the brother's in the doorway and
he kind of takes responsibility. He's like, ah, my bad. I'm sorry. I was going to clean the house up before you came home.
Yeah.
I'll go find your
but
dog.
But the brother's being so shady about everything and is not talking about like where they went, where the family is, or like what's happening.
Yeah. He kind of takes responsibility. He's like, oh, I'm sorry about this, but it's not at the level it should be because this house is destroyed. And then we see the flashback of the meeting with the teacher and his family and his little door who winks at him.
Yeah. And I feel like they're kind of drawn like the Hikizari siblings.
They're weird looking.
There's like a weird looking family.
But there's class tension here because the teacher's like, oh, I would
love
please,
to live in a house like
a
this.
A house like this would be so nice. And, yeah. Like,
he can't stay in his house anymore. And he's like, there's no place for us to go. I'm like, I'm sure there's some place for you to go.
Right. And they look super old, but they have a baby.
And a little infant. And they have a little kid.
But the mother and father look
they just look old.
Look busted. And so he lets them.
Yeah.
But yeah, they're weird. Like the little girl winks at him. They're odd. They're just odd people, which you can say about a lot of the characters in this whole series. It's just sometimes people are just they're just odd.
Well, he also mentioned something like when he's indignant and like raging around the house after he comes back. He's like, was this petty vengeance of the teacher? It's like, why would he? We never get that.
Why would
he be vengeful about anything?
Right.
It's weird.
So the brother stays in the house. Oh, no, it's not the brother. The main character stays in the house. And it's getting worse. The walls have like, he's like, the walls are bumpy.
Yeah. It's almost like, it looks like soot almost, but it's meant to be mold.
I thought it was flesh at first.
Oh.
But it's mold.
Yeah.
Because at one point he puts his finger through it.
Just right through it. And so the house is getting worse around him, which
it reminds me of Silent Hill.
Oh, yeah. I think that's why I thought it was ash, because it looks like that.
Yeah.
And I feel like hallways are not where they're supposed to be.
Things get weird.
The geography of the house is changing. When he says, what's up with my house? Why is it so weird now? Which makes me laugh.
Yeah, it somehow feels like it's alive and dead because it's a house which is inanimate, but it's beginning to feel organic, but not a healthy organic thing like a decaying thing,
like something that's rotting. Is when he asks the brother what happened to the dog.
I don't remember.
What does the brother say? It's like the baby.
Oh, right. Well, when the house is all moldy, the brother looks inside. He's like, it looks like the baby. And he's like, I came over to visit them and the baby looked all moldy.
Yeah.
Like it was turning into mold.
Yeah. It looked like a skin condition or something, like scaly, but also melting.
Yeah.
And then he sees the daughter and the daughter, like also the daughter comes out of like the dark hallway.
Yeah.
Where are the parents? Maybe they've already succumbed to whatever's happened.
Yeah.
And the daughter also is like smiling, but like her face is all fucked up and like she looks crazy.
Yeah.
And like melty and moldy.
And now the house is like growing veins and like
tangled vines.
Yeah.
Almost.
And like some of them are like a pimple. Like one thing like busts open.
Yeah.
Like it's like it's like super inflamed. It's very gross.
But then I also felt like there was this like circular thing happening with the house, where it would just be almost like a seashell, but it was like all black and like it was like a cocoon, and it was starting to envelop
anyone inside
of it.
And then he finds a room, which I don't know if he just didn't go into that room the whole time he was back, but he goes into a room and he finds the bodies and like everything is growing out of them.
Yeah.
Like the mold and the tendrils and all of that stuff is like coming out of their bodies. Mm-hmm.
Because he lived in the house before they got there and there was never a problem with the house.
Well, did he though? Or not too long?
Not that long.
Yeah.
But it's
definitely the family brought it.
The family
it.
Brought
it's not
it.
The house.
Whatever it is, whatever that was, the family brought it into the house.
And it ends with just, you see the main character, he's got mold on his face and he's like, oh, it itches.
Yeah.
So he succumbs to it too. Yeah. And that's it. It's just
the brother really
fucked him over. It's almost like a parable.
Over.
It's just so simple.
Yeah.
Just like, oh, did you hear about the rich man who went on a trip and he let the poor man stay in his house and he turned the mold?
Everybody turned the mold. Yeah, so everyone turned
the mold. So
don't give charity to poor people.
Always leave a note. Yeah, that one's not a great story, but I think is very visually appealing.
Yeah, this one is weird.
Library vision.
Yeah,
it's very Western. I don't know.
The house looks very Western. Yeah, it looks like it's in like Vermont. Or yeah, something. Not that they don't have those kinds of environments in Japan. I'm just frankly not.
But even
that familiar with that. But it, like, I feel like the fall season is really.
Even the narrative feels like more like Western horror than Japanese horror.
Yeah.
So this is a weird one.
So this guy his whole house is a library, basically.
Right. Like, again, it's one of those weird things that isn't like questioned.
Yeah.
Like, why do we live like this?
We just have just everything is books.
Every wall is books. And he seems to know everyone because one is missing and his wife's like, oh, I borrowed it. And he's like, put it back. Like, he knows where every book is.
Where is it? Renee of the Winter Winds. That's the one that's missing.
Right. The most beautiful book in the world. His mother's favorite book.
His mother's favorite. And this is a weird one. Like, he's obviously insane.
Yes. He's been writing a diary every day since he was four.
Yeah.
And he says something like, the diaries are my present and the books in my library are the past.
Yeah. He's got this ongoing narrative of his life happening in the books. And so, he wakes up in a cold sweat.
Wait, maybe... Is it possible that the after credit story is him who's talking? Because he's in like some sort of like mental hospital at the end, right? And he escapes.
Is that him?
I think that's him. I thought he turns into that guy.
And is he having visions of the guy coming into the room, but really it's himself? That was the question I had, because I assumed it was him at the end of the mental hospital, but then I saw he became the guy from Hell of Thorns.
Yeah.
And the missing books were in his room. And I was like, is that guy, is this like a Gerald's Game situation, Stephen King? And like, the person you think is actually a figment of the imagination is a real person that just broke into your house.
Oh, interesting.
Like, is this guy from a mental hospital who looks like another horror show? Possibly the carpenter, breaking into that.
Well, he also sees Renee.
He sees Renee.
And she recites her book to him.
Yeah. But also Renee is sort of conflated with the mom.
Hell of Thorns is conflated with the dad.
Yeah.
He says it was his father's most beloved book. Yeah. But I'm thinking, let's say that is him at the end.
And the parents are gone.
Yes, the parents are gone. Let's say that is him at the end of this episode. Mm-hmm. It could be him speaking at the end of every episode the post-credit thing. Him writing in the wall. That could all be him.
Right, because he writes everything.
Because it's very about writerly and reading and stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, so he starts to go insane because these books are missing. And
His poor wife. She's like, can we look tomorrow? And he's like, no.
Yeah.
I have to make sure the contents of every shelf are correct.
His wife is incredibly calm. Like, she's like, please don't do this. Can we do this?
Yeah.
Like, let's not. Or, like, she's not having the appropriate reaction to any of this. He's clearly having a mental break. He's seeing his novels come to life. Renee and Hell of Thorns.
They're both missing.
Yeah.
And he's seeing them, the characters in those books come to him.
Right. And the horror book, like, scared him into madness.
Yeah.
Like, he's all wrapped up in a blanket, like, staring.
And he says to her, like, I saw Renee and she recited to me and she looked like my mother. Mm-hmm. And she's like, oh, okay. And he's like, she's right there. Can you see her?
Yeah. And so then he...
She starts reading his diaries too, the wife.
Right. He said, like, his solution is to memorize every book. So
he's got to
put it in his brain. So now you see his project is like he's reading all the books and he's like feverishly reciting them to himself. And... He's like going through every single book in his house.
At one point, it's very montage-y because you don't know how much time is going on. At one point,
right.
Like, first of all the books are off the shelves and they're just stacked around him like a sky scape of books.
Uh-huh.
At one point, he's like huddled in a corner with a blanket over him with like scars on him, and he's reciting Hell of Thorns.
Yeah,
and it's like, did he hurt yourself? the monster from Hell of Thorns. It's weird because every one of these elements is like three things. It's like Hell of Thorns is a book. It's his father, and it's a monster it's that a hurts monster. You.
Yeah.
And Renee of the Winter Wind is a book. It's his mother and a beautiful woman.
Yeah. With white eyes, though. Renee has white eyes.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
At one point, she's the creepy. Wife has a vision. Uh-huh. When she reads his diary, she sees the mother leave. Because his mother left him, too.
Yes. So the parents are missing, but he says
another parent's missing.
Mom left with a strange man.
Hmm.
Which I'm like, Hell of Thorns? Like, what? Strange man came and, like, took mommy away.
Well, that's interesting. So, you get the idea weird. That his father was abusive, right?
Yeah. Because
his father is completely – he associates his father with the scariest book ever and someone who comes into your house through a window and hurts you.
Yeah.
He's climbing in your window.
You better hide your wife, hide your kids.
Hide your kids, hide your wife. how's that for a 10-year-old reference?
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
it's weird.
Hell of Thorns, the monster is like, he looks a little...
Death Note?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. He's spiky, mm-hmm. but you kind of don't see him that well
the first time you see him. Silhouette. He's got long fingers.
Yeah. By the way, this house, goals. Like I would love a house like this.
This house is great.
Without the madness, of course.
Of course. Well, that's the price you pay for good real estate.
Yeah. I mean, I would like some walls...
I just want an in-between. I want a house where there's no rats or demons coming or hanging balloons coming to get me.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to think. What's the nicest house in this series? Probably the hanging balloon house because it's just like a nice middle-class house.
It's just outside of the house you don't want to go to.
No, you'd never want to go outside.
Because the alley house I don't want. I don't want Soichi's house, especially not if he's there.
That creepy carpet. The Hikizori
house I don't want. Intruder house I don't want. Like,
yeah, the intruder house is a weird like maze of nightmares.
No. I don't like any of that.
So he starts memorizing the books and he says something like, I'm losing my memories, I'm losing my past because there's too much information coming into my head.
Yeah.
So it's like he's rewriting himself.
Yeah. All he has is the stories now inside of him.
Yeah.
And what causes the fire? Does he just like, he's just hanging out?
This makes me think it's in the past. He's got an oil light, an uh-huh. oil lamp. Uh-huh. And like, he like just like by mistake, like he's like groggy. He like wakes up and he knocks it over and it burns.
And it burns all the books.
Yeah.
And the house, you see it like a faraway shot, like a drone shot of the house.
And it's burning.
So I assumed he didn't survive. He was done.
Oh, he sees a vision of Renee and he tries to grab Renee and that's how he knocks the lamp over.
So I just assumed he died and that's why I was like, oh, I guess he survived, he's in the mental institution. But
that's
then it looks like the demon guy and
I
he
thought
has,
he turned into that
and
guy
he has the missing books, he has the books that were stolen or missing or whatever that have been driving him crazy, like why are these books missing?
Yeah.
And I was like, that's just okay, one of two things.
I didn't think I noticed that he had the missing books.
They're on the bed. They're on the bed in the mental institution. It's like Renee, Hell of Thorns, and then I think a diary.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, I read it as him. And he like turns into that.
That was my initial
read. You don't
know
what happens to the wife, though.
No, you don't. You just don't see her anymore.
She's better off.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I'm sure that house is insured.
The next one, episode 7, is Toomtown.
This
is
not Toontown.
No.
Much less fun.
This is a close second for me because this is a very good story.
This is a good one.
And it's a telltale heart story.
It is. And I like the, like so many of these stories, I like that the strange paranormal aspects are just treated like it's an everyday thing.
Yes. Oh, yeah. This town is totally fine with weirdness that goes on. What's interesting is this is like, either one of these things could be its own story, but it's basically a story that has two huge high concepts in it.
Mm-hmm.
Just together.
Mm-hmm.
The hiding a body.
I know
also,
what you did last summer.
Yeah, and this crazy town.
Yeah. He just hid the wrong body.
Yeah.
Okay. I have so much to say about that.
Okay.
Because of this sort of heightened reality or the dream logic of this show, people do not respond like normal human beings.
Yeah. Yeah. People aren't like, this is fucking weird.
Yeah.
My whole life has changed now.
Or they just don't behave like a person would. So these siblings, these like either teen or young adult siblings.
Yeah.
And they're headed to visit a friend of theirs who's like out in the sticks somewhere.
Yeah.
And she's like, are you sure you're not driving me? Because like she got excited to hear you were going to come.
Yeah.
And they're
more siblings. There's siblings in every episode.
Yeah.
It's such a big thing. And people call themselves sis and brother. Hey, brother. Hey, big brother.
Big brother.
Hey.
Or just like a friend they call big brother or big sister, like in the bully episode. It's like, which that one upsets me so much.
That's the most disturbing episode. And it's not even, really paranormal. That's disturbing.
It's so upsetting. So, yeah.
So yeah, you're right. It's like I Know What You Did Last Summer, because they're driving and they hit a young girl.
They're looking for a map. Like, they're looking at the map. He's trying to get the map. He's driving. And he's trying to get the map from his sister to, like, see where they're going. And this girl is out for a walk or for a run. And she runs out into the street and they don't see her. They hit her. And she's all bloody and they mention her face is swollen.
So they can't recognize her.
And she has, like, a little heart bracelet on. Yeah. And...
at first, they're gonna take her to the hospital.
Breathing. They're like, we gotta find a hospital. We gotta take her to the hospital.
Yeah, but then when she's in the car, the sister's like, yeah, she's dead.
She's dead. She's not breathing anymore. And he's like, we gotta take her to the mountains and bury her. Why? Why not just bring her to the town and be like, we hit this girl. It was an accident.
Do you ever think about this? Because your life is changed. Your life is ruined at this point.
Your life is going to be way more. I've listened to too much true crime to think you're ever going to get away with anything. Nowadays, you're going to be found out for sure. Better to make it easier on yourself and just do your due diligence and make it look like you're trying to do the right thing.
And I don't want
to
sound like a killer.
You're not.
But if you have there's nothing premeditated. You have no connection to this person.
You have no connection to this person. Well, so it would be hard to
trace it. If you can get rid of the physical evidence, it would be very hard.
Why go through all of that when it was purely an accident?
I don't want to go to jail.
You weren't speeding. You weren't
this particular homicide.
Yeah, but you would get like involuntary manslaughter because it was a big fine. Unintentional.
I don't want to pay that.
Well, listen, you gotta pay attention to the road. But
I also my guilt. I would, and this doesn't matter if you bury the body or not. Like, I would be changed forever. I would be I've killed somebody, and
yeah, of course, it would change. I'd
just
forever.
Be self. It's just my life would just be more self-loathing.
But like, he wasn't drunk or anything. Like, it was just an accident.
It was just they weren't looking.
And also, it's like the most selfish thing in the world because, as we see immediately, this person has a family who's worried about them and looking for them.
Oh, that's where it's such a telltale heart story, because there's the slow burn of, hey, is she not home? Hey. Let's go and look for her. And then there's a cops. And then there's a search
party. Now there's a search party.
And you have to be part of the search party and be pretending to look for her.
He's so loud. He's like, come on out. We'll find you.
And the brother's keeping it together way more than the sister. The sister's like cracking. She's like, she's ready to squeal at any moment.
And the
brother's like, you fucking better not.
Immediately he's acting like, I'm like, does this guy have priors or what? Like, why is he immediately like, I need to bury this body. Like, there's no way I can take.
Right.
I mean, even it's like, just pretend like you're not a doctor. You have no way of saying like this person is dead or not. I mean, they know she's dead, but you'd be like, we hit this girl. Help, help. Like, get her into the hospital.
Just bring her to the,
No. So they get into the town. And
now here's the other big high concept.
And instead of, they're like, we got to find a place to bury her.
Yeah.
There's just a tomb in the middle of the road.
Yeah. They're like, why? There's something. And they call it a tomb, but it doesn't have an epigraph on it. It's just like,
and it's not like a gravestone like we would think of it in.
It's like
the West. It's like a. West versus East, but it's just like in the. I'm just gonna say in the U.S.
Yeah,
it's almost like a monolith type.
Yeah, it's like a spire.
Yeah,
but it's in the middle of the road, which again is a new image. Just a street with these little things coming out of it is such an interesting image.
And it doesn't look like it was placed there. Like, it looks like it grew there. Like, it's something very organic about the bottom of it.
Well, what's interesting is the episode tries to hold that reveal off.
Yes.
Because no one says it grows until later on. They're just like, oh yeah, when someone dies, something's erected.
Mm-hmm.
They're very vague about it.
Yeah. But it's like obvious, like, oh, it must.
Yeah, it's obvious to the viewer. Yeah.
So,
when somebody dies on the spot that they died,
a tombstone is erected. Yeah. And so then they realize that street is absolutely littered with tombstones.
Right.
So a bunch of guys, because he backs up and he knocks over one of the tombs and then it gets stuck under his car. So he needs help. They're like, you're going to have to jack that car up.
Yeah. These guys are totally fine. They don't care that they're living in a nightmare. Yeah. They're like, oh, well, you must be new around here.
They're like, oh, I guess you're not from here. Yeah, shit, because there seems to be like 30 people in this town. You know everybody.
Be careful with the tombstones.
Yeah, there's tombstones everywhere.
You have a jack in your car? And he's like, yeah, but he has the bodies in the trunk.
Yeah.
So to get the jack, he's got to open it and which the body's there.
Which he just does. He just opens it. She's in plain sight. Yeah. Nobody sees. It's fine.
He's like, I'll just do this fast.
Yeah. Do it real quick.
They get to the friend's house. And they realize that it's the sister that they hit. Because the friend's like, my little sister, she was out jogging. Have you seen her on your way up here? We can't find her. She was wearing her little bracelet or whatever. And they're like, oh no. We fucking killed the sister of this person.
Well, he has... So they're over and they're like having lunch or tea or whatever. And she's like, the previous owner in this house took his last breath right in that room. She's like, she opens the doors and there's just a tomb in the other room. And she's like, I'd prefer not to live in a house with a tomb, but you get used to it. And so they're like, so what is it, a tradition? She's like, more or less.
Right. No, they really hold off the idea that it grows.
Yeah.
You see later that it grows out of the body.
Right. So then they're out. They're walking around the town.
They find a cat one. They find a little one. And she's like, that was a cat. And he's like, all living things?
Yeah.
And she's like, yeah.
Oh, because you know, like, there's bugs, a dead not cat bugs. In the road.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, don't touch it. Because that was the other thing.
Right.
Oh. Like, don't touch any. Oh, that's the ambulance parks there because they're getting Wi-Fi from somewhere. So they hang out there.
Creeps.
It's kind of nice to know that there's usually an ambulance across the street from our house. Like, if like something happens in the house at night,
we could just
like, well, you know, no, you wouldn't because you'd get to the ambulance and be like, hey.
I'm the worst criminal in the world.
Really? I mean, these people are the worst criminals in the world. He's terrible. He doesn't do anything to cover up the blood in the backseat of his car.
They forget that it's there. Yeah. They forget that it's there. The sister's like... has no poker face at all.
Yeah. So they're walking around. They see the cat. She's like, don't touch it.
Yes.
She's like, if the body is disturbed, it won't rest in peace. Is that when they go to see the well or do they see the hospital first?
They see the hospital. Yeah, they see the hospital and they see the doctors pull a guy out.
Like a really old man on death's door.
And and they're like, he's about to die. And she explains like, they don't want him to die in the hospital because then the tomb will be there. So they want to bring him outside so he can die, so he can grow out here. Mm-hmm. Or it can be out here.
Well, she doesn't say grow out here. It's like, so it can be erected out here. And then they go, do they see the well at that point? Or is it during the search that they find the well?
I think it's later on that they see the well.
Okay. So now they're starting to get worried. It's nighttime. The parents are like, she still didn't come back yet. You know, I'm going to go out looking for her. Then there's a search party.
Yeah.
They go looking for her. The brother's like, I'm sure she'll be back real soon.
And just like, I'm nervous just watching it. Just the slow build of.
No remorse.
You know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
But like just people being like, huh. Like you see them beginning to get worried, but you know she's gone.
Yeah.
And they're like,
the last place we can check is the old well.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, it's bottomless. It's like, oh, interesting. And you see the wheels turning for him. He's like, really? There's no bottom to this well, huh?
And then I think a cop or somebody says like, oh, yeah, like
people who can't rest in peace have been thrown down the well.
And he's like, say more.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you can tell he's like, I'm going to throw this bitch down the well for sure.
Person in that scene, because the brother says, what happens when someone is not laid to rest properly, whatever? And he goes, go to the hospital. I forget how he puts it. He basically, when they're out the well, the person tells him, go back to the hospital and look at the guy that you saw yesterday.
Yeah.
And they go back and they see that the stone is growing out of him.
Right. And he's like becoming like a gelatinous mess on the floor. And they're like, oh, I guess he was able to rest in peace. Oh, that's good.
Yeah. Yeah. The doctor's like, he's coming along nicely. He's turning into a tomb.
Yeah. So weird. So then they're like, oh my God. And then
because they moved her body. It's in their trunk.
Yes. Right. So, I mean, that would have been very dangerous though. It was like around a curve. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
A tombstone being right there.
It's just a self-fulfilling prophecy because he's just going to have more accidents.
Yeah, no, it's terrible. So now he realizes he has two problems on his hand.
Yeah.
One, he has to get rid of the body. And two, he realizes, oh shit, she's turning into a tomb in my trunk.
Right.
But also.
Or something else, unnatural.
Something's happening now because I didn't let her rest. Yeah. And he still hasn't seen what happens to something that can't rest. Yeah. So,
And the sister's like, we should tell.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the murdered girl's sister is also starting to ask more questions.
She's starting to be like,
she's starting to get a little suspicious. And she's like, they found some skid marks at the site.
yeah,
and some paint from a car. And it's clear that she's been checking out the car, and yeah, they come upon her like looking through the back yeah window. And when she leaves, she's like, "There's just one more thing I have to do," and she goes to leave. And the siblings realize, like, oh, she saw the blood.
And
in the
this is like, this is it. The jig is up.
Yeah.
This is it.
So then they don't address it again, but they're like, we're just going to leave. We're causing you a lot of
pain. They hightail it out of there.
They're like, it's time to go. And the murdered girl's sister doesn't try to stop them or do anything, right?
Yeah, but they kind of don't give her a chance. They're immediately like, let's drive out of here right now.
We got to go. But then they go at night, right?
They go to, yeah.
Or early dawn hours. Yeah. They go to the well. They open the trunk and it's like green mist is coming out of there.
Yeah.
It's like, it stinks. It's awful.
And like, she's like becoming like.
It's like decomposition, but it's also like she's coming like a geode or something. Yes, there's like crystal.
Yeah.
Like brown.
And the sound of it reminds me of the grinding teeth yeah, from like, the other episode. It's just like
cracking, yeah, cracking yeah sound. And she looks horrifying. Yeah. Like her face is like in a scream. And she's like a rock monster.
And they're like, let's throw her in this fucking well.
They throw her right down that well. The bracelet catches and it falls on the outside
right
of the
right
well.
Right, right, right.
And then...
Oh, then you have a really scary moment. The brother has a vision of horrible, she comes out of the well.
Like meat and rock monster.
That's like a serpent. Like a
serpent all and, the but way it's up all into like the bodies. Sky.
Yeah, but it's all like bodies.
All different bodies.
And then she like screams.
Like a long arm.
Yeah. She screams, that's him, everybody. That's the person who killed me. Like pointing at him, like putting a spotlight on him.
Yeah, which and he's like screaming and covering his ears. It's clear that his sister didn't hear it.
You're so right. Because he like jumps out of it and it's not there.
Yeah. And so then they take off.
Yeah.
And they go. And presumably are not caught for killing this girl.
No, but
the sister finds the bracelet at the well.
And I think her family
kills her themselves.
Yeah, because you see in their house.
There's three tombs.
Yeah.
The bracelet and a bottle of pills.
Yeah.
I'm like, why did they kill themselves?
Instead of going after them.
Yeah.
I guess they were just so sad.
Like, but they all were just like, okay,
time. It's just tragic.
Guess I'll die.
What's interesting though about the end is
but then he
turns into one.
He turns into one.
But the sister doesn't. Oh, is it from cutting his hand?
I think it's from cutting his
hand. I thought it was because he was the guilty party.
Because
the sister doesn't turn into anything.
When they move to the well, when they move her body into the well, he has like a cut.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So I assumed it was like transmitted.
Yeah. It reminds me a little bit of the Creepshow story with Stephen King in it where he like finds meteor and he starts to like grow like moss all over his body.
Yeah.
So episode 8, Layers of Fear.
Oh, but he has like a green face and like fan shapes. Yeah. Almost like mushrooms.
Yeah.
Like coming out of his mouth.
You said geode, which I think is right.
Yeah. He did deserve it though. I just don't get why they all took pills.
Yeah, I don't get it either. I mean, it's a very striking image to see. Because now you've been taught that these things mean a body.
Yeah.
So, like, to see in their living room, like, around the rug, like, three right next to each other means, like, they sat down.
Yeah, they just all died together.
And you see the bracelet there, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty fucked up. Yeah. Pretty fucked up. Ready for episode 8?
Yeah.
All right. So, episode 8, Layers of Fear and...
Layers of Terror.
So, it would sometimes be different in the episode or what Netflix wrote.
Oh.
And I don't know if that's because they're translated differently. There's a few like that.
Like the title card was different than what on the actual menu? Yeah, because
I think Ice Cream Bus was at some point Ice Cream Truck, which is
mine
more like
Ice
we
Cream
would,
Truck.
Which sounds more like how we would say
it. I had one other one that you, like, you had Library Visions.
Yeah.
Mine was The Library.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, there was some difference there. Yeah, I have Layers of... Oh, but I also wrote Layers of Terror here as well. Hmm. And The Thing That Drifted Ashore.
Yes.
So Layers of Terror is...
It opens in an archaeological dig.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
Yeah.
And it's weird because it's almost like... So they find a little skull of a kid, like a kid's grave, essentially. And then I didn't understand what they were describing until you see like the wide shot of like what it is. And basically it's like... The kid died and then they would layer clay into different layers on top of it, like one by one. Yeah. And after it hardened, they put another one until it was like a giant form of a kid. I don't know what the purpose of that
was. I don't know either.
Okay. But then you see sort of like the crosshatch of the land. And you see it almost like they say, rings of a tree.
Yeah.
And it goes, it's very big. It goes all the way up. And it's just like a big baby's head. Like over and over and over and over again.
And in the center is a skull.
In the center is a skull.
Which they take.
Which that guy takes, which I'm like, why is he disrupting this site? It starts to rain. They're like, we have to preserve the site. But like, instead of just covering it, he takes it with him.
Right. You're going to get cursed.
And then that's the problem. Now he gets a curse.
Your family's going to get cursed.
Yeah.
We cut to the present. And
a family is in a car.
Yeah, you've got this mother who's a real piece of work.
Oh my God. And her two adult daughters.
Right. Her daughter was a child star.
They're all in black. They're coming from a memorial service for the father.
Yes.
But we don't know that the person in the beginning is their father. So we come to find that later.
Right, right. One of the sisters up front is driving, and then the mother and the younger sister in the back.
Right. Raimi is the child star.
Narumi, and she's very beautiful and young, and the mother like dotes on her.
Yeah. And then Narumi is the older daughter.
Yeah.
And she's not ugly, but
right.
Yeah. She's not Raimi. So.
Yeah. And she's like, and like the mother, just the horror of the mother. The mother is like,
mother.
Oh, you were so great. And when you were two, you would be like, mommy, hug me, blah, blah.
Mama,
and
hug,
then fucking,
mama,
you're a piece of shit up
she's
there.
She's like, I would give anything for you to be 2 years old again. Oh, I wish I could have spent more time with you. And Raimi's like crying. And she's like, oh, my darling daughter, I wish you could be two again. And she talks like that. And then Narumi was like, yeah, you spent all your money on her, like braces and acting lessons, singing lessons. You didn't put any money into me. And the mom just dead cold is like, that's because you're ugly.
Yeah. It's and, fucked up.
And she turns
it causes a car accident.
She turns around and is like, what did you say? Yeah. And runs them off the road. Not purposely, but it's just like I sort of feel like the mother speaks to her like very savagely throughout, but it also seems like she crossed a line there that she hasn't crossed before, because Narumi is taken aback by what she says.
It's stunning.
Yeah,
it made me think, like, is this about an evil mother? Because it's just so, because even the way she, like, the way that, yeah, right, the way the Rumi's like, what the fuck just happened?
And the mom like turns off the sweetness in a flash. Yeah. And it's like, that's because you're ugly. Yeah. Drive the car.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
And they crash, and
I was pretty sure she died.
Right. A street sign comes the way they crash is a street sign came through the window and basically like ripped
half of Raimi's face off.
Right. But
it's hanging like Salvador Dali painted it. Like it's just like melting off the sign kind of.
But the really weird thing is you see an eye on it.
Yeah.
As if the eye were painted on it.
Not like an eyeball.
Right. Yeah. And so I thought she was dead too.
Yeah.
But then cut to, like, she's in the hospital.
Right. And they're like, is she going to be okay? I'm like, no, her face just got ripped off. What are you talking about?
Right. And then this doctor, who, again, he should be way more freaked out about all of this.
Yeah.
The doctor's like, so...
She had another face underneath her face.
Yeah.
And the mom goes, stop joking around and tell us the truth. Like, this man would be joking around with them at the hospital. And he says, like, a fingerprint. Oh, it looks like a fingerprint. The X-ray, the MRI.
He shows her the X-ray, and he's like, "Look, she has no internal organs. It's just layers of skin,
layers and layers and layers."
And he's not screaming at the top of his lungs.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't look this up, but I'm just gonna. You can just cut out the amount of time it takes me to look this up.
Okay.
She says, "Oh, it's like she's a Baumkuchen."
Oh yeah.
It's a cake.
Oh, I see.
That's weird.
Okay. Yeah.
It is a pop. Is a German cuisine that is popular in Japan.
Oh, for some reason
I thought it was like a folkloric figure or something.
I thought it was like a Russian doll.
Oh,
I don't know why I thought, like, oh, that sounds like a toy to me.
Oh, it's, you can see it's like many layers.
Oh,
like
I see.
Around rings.
Yeah,
that's another theme I would say is layers of things, like layers of skin. There's layers of doors in the house in the Soichi episode. There's a lot of
you're right.
Yeah, there's a lot of like peeling back.
So the older sister's like, listen, we're cursed because dad should not have taken that baby skull, and when he did, we became cursed.
Right.
And this is when you learn that's the connection to the beginning.
Yes. Also, is this the point where she says, like, I'm layered too?
This is so disturbing.
And she opens her mouth, and she's, the older sister has all these rows of teeth.
Yeah. So far,
so both kids are like that,
right? But it's weird in the beginning. She said she needed braces because wouldn't they have found your crazy teeth?
Yeah, yeah. It's a weird thing that it's like it doesn't make sense.
No, yeah, right.
I mean, obviously it doesn't make sense, but like. Like even none the of logic the
inside
like,
the world yeah, doesn't make sense.
Doesn't make sense. It's almost like it only happened now. Like they've never gotten just a cut layered.
Or an injury ever.
Yeah. So
but it is a weird reveal when she's like, "I am too," and yeah. then you see the teeth because it's so creepy to see the rows of teeth.
Yeah, and so like Raimi, so she says like the doctor's like, "We have to study her. Like this is incredible. Like she has to stay here for more tests." And the mother's like, "No, no, it's fine. We'll just take her home." The mother's
getting raving mad. Yeah. She's getting crazier and crazier.
So she takes her home, and now it just looks like there's just she's recovering, but there's just like a piece of her face missing with a, like a face underneath. So it's almost like she has like a patch on her face. It just looks weird.
There's a great moment though when Raimi yells at the mother.
Yeah,
she's like, "I'm not a child. Stop treating me this way. Stop touching me."
Yeah,
it's pretty satisfying.
And there's posters of child Raimi all over the house. It's wild.
Yeah.
But the mom. Wants two-year-old Raimi back because now she doesn't feel needed by Raimi because she got yelled at. And obviously the other daughter doesn't care about her because she's so mean. So she's like sitting over her sleeping body being like, "Oh, are you in there? Oh, little two-year-old Raimi."
Oh, right, because the doctor says like a ring, like a tree's rings, it could be all the – he counts them and he's like it's 21, whatever. It's the all the years of her life.
Yeah.
So somewhere in there is a –
So she's like, "So you mean there's somewhere, like there's a version of her in there?" But I mean, just let's just adopt the logic of this show for a moment. It would just be skin. Like, I don't think my internal organs have personalities, you know? So I would just imagine it would be like the skin, not like the spirit of the person.
Right.
It'd just be their physical skin, you know?
Right. It's not another consciousness.
Exactly. But she's approaching it like, "Oh, the kid is in there. I can release the kid."
Yeah.
And then she hears the voice.
Like, "Mommy, let me out.
Mama, hug. Mama, I'm scared. It's dark in here. Mama, hug." It's so gross.
Yeah.
So now she starts piece by piece tearing.
It's so depraved.
Her skin off.
It's so gross and depraved and fucked up.
And it hurts her.
Yeah, yeah. She's screaming.
She screams.
And the mother's like, "Now that she's passed out, we could work faster."
Yeah.
And the sister's like, "What the fuck?"
And there's
you doing?
Blood in. Even though that there's no internal organs, there is blood in between the layers of skin. So it's very bloody.
Yeah. Yeah. And she starts using a knife. It's very gross.
Yeah, she's cutting her up. She cuts her up the bad Raimi. Let's get the bad Raimi off of you. Because now this is the Raimi that doesn't need her anymore. So she's bad.
They get all the layers of the face. And now it's just like a baby head on a grown up body.
Yeah, they're like, "Come on, cut the body. Yeah. Like, let's keep going." But there's no baby body inside.
It's exactly what you think it would be, but it's still so upsetting to see it.
Yeah, because they show it. They show everything.
Yeah.
And so then it's just like, it's like a beef jerky person.
Yeah.
It's just like a skinny stick figure body.
Right, because it makes sense because it's as tall as an adult.
It's as tall as an adult. It's not like there's a little baby inside. So there's this baby head, like laughing and giggling and talking.
It's
and
so
like,
nightmarish.
Like happy. And the body is completely eviscerated and cut up.
It reminds me of there was a sketch on Mr. Show.
Yes, with the burnt kid.
Yeah, the kid who like, he loves this band, and they had in their song they say like "Jump in Nevada, acid," and he does it.
He does it, and he has like those little baby legs, and baby body. That's exactly what I thought of.
it's pretty disturbing.
It's just David Cross's head.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like. And he's just as happy as this little baby Raimi.
Yeah.
And then the mom is like, "I know what I'll do. Like, I'm sure I was cursed too.
Yeah.
So I'll just be a younger version of myself."
Right. She starts ripping her face off.
She just takes a scalpel, the knife that she was using to cut up her daughter, and then like cuts off like the side of, like just cuts like a loose little piece of her face off, and then just rips her full face off, but she is not layered, so she's just
and she's screaming. But she does do the whole body.
She does the body.
Yeah,
that's right, because she's all bandaged.
Yeah,
afterwards.
At the end you see her just covered in bandages.
Yeah, and they both survive.
The sister comes in and brings them food.
The sister,
like, this is pretty fucked
they're
up.
They're just both in a dark room.
Yeah,
the sister is now taking
just
care
two
of
monsters.
Both of them. One of them is like a mummy, all wrapped up, and the other one is Raimi with her little baby head.
A baby beef jerky creature.
Yeah. It's terrible.
It's truly horrible, right? Because she says, I'll remove my skin and I'll get back to when I was in my 30s and then I'll have another baby.
Yeah.
And that's how I'll do it.
And it's another critique of like the pop idol industry.
Yeah, I think so too. Yeah. So the next story is The Thing That Drifted Ashore. This reminds me a lot of The Drowned Giant.
Yeah. The narrator's role as being like the outsider observing like what's going on this
and this is a very
beach.
This is a very short little story. I mean, it's really not even a story. It's just a thing, a gross image.
Mm-hmm.
Some like serpent like monster fish.
Yeah, it's like a big black eel looking thing. It has little tentacles, they call it protrusions.
Yeah.
Black eyeballs cover its face. But have you ever also seen like barnacles? It kind of looks, the eyeballs sort of look like barnacles. And there's a lot of tentacles on the face, but not like an octopus, but like a catfish almost.
It looks like a mutant version of like a sea creature.
And it's black.
Yeah.
And they keep showing it from overhead. It's on this like pretty crescent beach with rock formations.
And there's people around looking at it.
A crowd is gathered.
And there are scientists that are trying to study it.
Yeah. They're like, this is an amazing find. Like, we've never seen a creature like this before. And they're trying to study it. And they see there's like, I guess it's through the gills or I'm not sure where, but there's almost like these transparent like windows.
Yeah.
And you can see into the creature. I guess it's just like a jelly. Like you can see inside the creature's body. And then they see there's all these people inside.
Yeah.
But prior to that, we have this narrator who's come to see the beach. And this woman collapses from the heat.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, let me take you over here in the shade. And they start talking. And he's like, truth be told, I actually don't like the ocean, but I want to, I couldn't, I felt compelled to be here. And she goes, oh, I hated the ocean since my fiance died in a ferry accident. She's like, the one, you know, the one that capsized and all the people went missing.
Yeah.
So she says that. And, so he mentions something and she goes, I doubt he's alive anymore. And so you get the feeling that this recently happened.
Yeah.
But then later in the episode, which is short, she says, oh, it's my fiance from 7 years ago.
Mm.
I was like, what?
It takes a long time to turn into a weird parasite monster.
I guess so. So it's filled with people. So instead of clearing the beach, they're like, we better cut this open and let these people out.
Yeah, that's their big idea. They're like, yeah, we don't want to look savage. We better let these people out.
Yeah.
And then they're
all white with white eyes.
Off air, I was talking. I asked you, have you ever seen a cockroach give birth?
Oh my god!
This reminds me of a cockroach giving birth because everyone go and YouTube this. You should do it right now. A cockroach giving birth. It looks like it's taking a big like white shit.
Ew!
And it's like a white cloud, and then it's like this white cloud, look like cauliflower, and then it starts to wiggle.
Oh god!
And then you realize it's like 30 white tiny cockroaches and then they scatter around.
Oh no.
It gives birth. They're born in a clump.
You know they have milk, mama cockroaches?
Stop.
That's just something
they
you could
do.
Think. Yeah, they do. You know?
Oh boy.
Something to
You can't imagine. You know what's funny? You can't imagine. This is just my human racism. I can't imagine a cockroach caring for another cockroach.
It's nurturing.
Like a
they're
cockroach
very
mommy.
Sexual beings. They're nurturing mothers.
I don't like that at all.
Mama cockroach. She gets hers and she takes care of her babies.
You know what one of the worst things I ever heard was? Do you know that female bed bugs don't have vaginas?
I didn't assume they did. I mean, I don't assume like most animals have vaginas. I don't know if that's just my ignorance of being like, you know, things that aren't mammals don't have like vaginas in the way we conceive a vagina.
They procreate via rape.
So do ducks.
But yes, but the male has to like rip them open. You left the male bed bug has to like basically rip the abdomen of the female open and fuck its hole that it just created in her. And
oh my god.
That's how they procreate.
No,
they're monsters from hell.
Oh my god. I don't like that.
Yeah. Mm-mm. So no. Anyway.
Anyway, another hell monster spills out its insides.
And nothing really happens. He just wanted to show us this horrible image he had.
They have sharp teeth and claws.
And they just kind of crawl away. They look like a wave. They're like, they're working
they
together.
They have red marks, but they're also foaming at the mouth.
Yeah.
And they all crawl away and they don't hurt anybody, but they're said to be acting like parasites. And
that's really it. Nothing happens, really.
They're like, they must have been acting like parasites. And as they're still in the mid, like, they're separated. The narrator and the scientist are separated by this wall of bodies crawling out onto the beach. And they're like, they must have been acting like parasites, just in this cadence. And the scientist is like, yes, but can humans become like parasites? And he's like,
open your fucking eyes, sir.
Something to ponder. And just no one is flipping out that these things are just.
That's every episode of the show. Monstrous
zombies crawling around on the beach.
Everyone should be screaming all the time.
But then it ends with either that sea creature.
Yes.
Earlier. Or another one swimming around.
Yeah.
In the sea. And you see it's like an anglerfish kind of. It has like bioluminescence on it. And a person dropping into the water.
Huh.
And it kind of looks like the narrator. And he's nude.
Interesting.
And he's just in the water. It's weird. I didn't understand that.
Maybe he wants to become one of them.
I don't know. But he did say he felt drawn to the beach. So I was wondering, like, oh, did he just jump in the water to, like, get caught by one of these things?
It's amazing how much so it does. Weird. It is like the drowned giant from Love, Death, and Robots, which was a J.G. Ballard story. Like the scientist, the being drawn in, the crowd.
Yeah.
It just said that is a human body.
Yeah. Well, I mean, we talked about this when we did the drowned giant. And it's that thing of, I mean, whenever there's a whale that washes ashore, there's always a crowd that comes to see it. You know, it's.
The ocean really is this undiscovered world. Like we live on just the tiny little surface of the planet that isn't wet.
Yeah.
And then the rest of our planet is wet.
Yeah.
And there's shit down there that we don't know. I forget what it's called. The phobia, but I have it.
Bill said it was hydrophobia because he's like, let's just call it hydrophobia. It's called thalassophobia.
Yes. I have that.
It's the fear of the deep. It's not just fear. It's not like a fear of water. It's the fear of like the depth of the ocean, fear of the unknown.
Just the, like, I think, like, to me, the most scary thing would be like the blackness. I mean, the pressure would kill you, but like, but like the blackness of the, where there's no light at all.
Yeah.
And who knows what dinosaurs are living down there.
I mean, they really are. They're like coelacanths. There's animals that have existed since like the prehistoric era because they haven't really evolved to do anything because the bottom of the ocean has changed because of human, you know, interference.
Yeah.
But it really is very similar to how it was thousands of years ago. Yeah. And so they just sort of live like they have lived.
And it's so funny because it's like, as humans, we feel like this is our planet, we're humans. But it's like, it's their planet too. Like the people, like they're the creatures that live in the dark bottom of the ocean.
Yeah. And there's ancient.
And they don't know about us at all.
Like the Greenland shark lives for hundreds of years. Hundreds of years. Yeah. Oh.
I mean, that's.
Was that you?
No.
Moving your leg?
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
Well, it's like I have a fear of sharks as well. And they're like dinosaurs.
Yeah.
They're just like, what are you doing? What are you still existing for?
Megalodon.
Yeah. Yeah, I can even like look at photos, like artwork of Cthulhu, and it gives me like chills. Oh. Like, oh. I hate water. I hate the ocean. I don't like pools at night.
I mean, you couldn't convince me that there weren't sharks in the deep end when I was a kid. Like, I knew there were.
Yeah, of course.
Stop trying to convince me otherwise.
They materialize out of your fear.
I taught swimming for such a long time, and I sort of felt I know how to swim, guys. I don't want to tell you about my lifestyle. I am wealthy. I do know how to swim. And one of the things I used to do that I think helped was sometimes kids would be afraid of the deep water, like the deep end.
Oh,
and they'd be like, there's sharks there. I'd be like, no, there's no sharks.
Isn't it amazing how natural that is, though?
Yeah. Yeah. I thought it, too. And so, especially like swimming on your back, like they didn't want to swim on their back because then they couldn't see where their sharks were. And I was like, I totally get it.
Yeah.
I was like, guys, there's no sharks. I was like, you see that? Because there's always like a grate at the bottom of big pools.
Yeah.
I was like, you see that? I'm like, that's the shark cage. We keep them in there when people are in the pool. So they never come out.
That would not make me less scared.
At the end of the day, when the people are all out, then we open it so they can swim around. But they're never going to be out while you're in.
You thought this would help?
And they were always like, oh, of course, that makes sense.
Right.
It was like, yes, because I know the sharks are there. I'm like, no, I'm telling you they are, but they're down there. I'm like, so don't even worry about it. Don't just, as long as you don't go near there, you're fine. It's almost like seeing the danger, like knowing where the danger was
helpful.
They always did it. They never freaked out after that. And I was a lot younger when I did this. So as a parent now, I'm like,
really,
I would never do that.
That would make me more scared.
But they were always so convinced of it. And so to try to unconvince them was never going to work.
You had to be like, yes, we all agree that there are sharks in here.
100%. I'm just telling you that we've got them under control. There are sharks in every pool, but we got it under control. Like, this is a good pool.
Yeah.
We spend money at this pool. Yeah, we have a shark cage and it's down there. These sharks
rarely get out.
No, they never get out. Rarely. Never, never. I mean, there was that one time.
And you don't know why they won't have you back.
But it was just, it was one of those things, like, if as long as they knew where the danger was,
yeah,
they were okay with it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it now as a parent. I'm like, what was I thinking? But I was like 19, so who cares?
Yeah. Nothing matters. All right. So let's put this baby to bed. We'll come back next week. Is this the first three-parter we've ever done in PC history?
Because, you know, Love, Death, and Robots went so much more quickly.
Yeah, so much shorter.
Yeah.
Well, I think the first Love, Death, and Robots episode could have been broken up, but we just did a 9-hour episode.
Yeah. And then the other ones didn't have this many because this is 12.
Yeah, this, yeah.
This is 12 long, with multiple stories. Yeah. So it's a lot.
So we'll come back next week and we'll do episode 9 to 12.
All right. Let's do it.
This is PCMC. I'm Mike Mangiorno. I was joined by the shark master herself, Janine Gagliardi.
Terrifier of children everywhere.
We end every episode by saying,
go bye-bye.